Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this Sunday, November 10th, 2024. You can find us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Our time has changed, and we're still trying to adjust.
Yeah.
And you probably... Go ahead.
Although it's easier this time change than it is for the spring. We have to get up earlier.
That's true. That's true. And in the fall, and we get an extra hour of sleep, yeah, supposedly. But my internal clock is still set. I still get up at the same time, not on the clock, but the same time every day. And so... first of all, you know, every week we like to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to do this. And, you know, we never want to take that for granted. There are people in our lives that are a part of this ministry without actually being here. Mm-hmm. And Ray is one of those people that keeps this program going for us each and every week.
Yes.
And we're grateful for that. And also, you want to tell us a little bit about what we do here at Prophecies of Hope?
Sure. We're a small little ministry that God put together. We did not put this together. Given our various backgrounds, and it's amazing that God brought this group of people together, because we all have the interest of knowing what God's Word says, simply just trying to find out what is said versus trying to battle each other about who's right and who's wrong. And so that's basically everyone kind of made the decision to study God's Word to see what it said.
Yeah.
And then follow it.
That's so important.
So we have this little ministry in Stanton, Virginia on 1743 West Beverly Street, if you're ever in the area. And we have our... Wednesday night meeting, we have a prayer time / Bible study time that we have at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's available via Zoom. And we have our church service on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, or what we call Sabbath. And we're just trying to be obedient to God's Word, the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
And I know a lot of you probably have heard, well, that's been done away with. Well, we don't find that in the Bible. Maybe we should talk about that again sometime.
Sure, yeah.
But anyways, so we have a Bible study at 9:30, and that's available via Zoom. It's also live streamed on our website, prophecyhope.com. And then we have our worship hour at 11, which is only live streamed.
Yes.
And then I think it's every other Monday that we have, Rick and Mary have a kind of a time to get together to witness prayer time.
Yeah, it's a testimony and prayer meeting.
Yeah.
And it's a very small group, and they host that from their home on Zoom.
Right.
And if anybody would like to be a part of any of these things, just send us a message.
Right.
And if somebody wants to contact you, how do they do that?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can contact me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And if you can't remember our names, the general email address is office@prophecyhope.com. Is there any other things that we wanted to talk about there as far as the ministry and the things that we do as a ministry?
No, I think our ministry, you know, oftentimes we're such a small little group, but yet we have a presence online.
Right.
With our ability to do Zoom participation, as well as our live stream, we have people participating from all parts of the world.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, there are folks on Sabbath morning when we come together for Zoom as far as India. Yeah. I think that's about as far away as we can get.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty amazing that people all over the world, some in the UK tune in from time to time. And
France.
Yeah, France every week. Yeah. And in fact, the brother in France is the one who, he's helping us with all of the website stuff.
Yeah.
And he's been helping us with the website because one of the people who used to be a part of the New Visions Radio family has died, and she used to help us with this. And she was actually our neighbor. She lived just across the way. In fact, she was the one who got us started here on this program.
Right.
And we were on New Visions Radio. We've been here for all of these years. I can't remember the year. 2013 or 14, I can't remember, but we were here the first week, and we've been so blessed to be here every week after that.
Yeah.
There was a period of time, if you go back and find the archived programs on the website, prophecyhelp.com, there was a period of time where I ended up in the hospital and some health issues came up and that we didn't record videos. But, you know, in spite of all of that time, Ray Powers kept things going.
Right.
And he kept the program rolling. He'd go back and find reruns and run them.
Yeah.
And what a blessing. You know, it's amazing how all these people work together.
Yes.
You know?
And that God put together, not us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just like you said just a few moments ago, Ed, you mentioned how God brought this group together, and we did. We all have different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
We come from various places. But it's amazing how the people that are here in the Stanton, Virginia area and those who tune in online with us on Zoom, they've come to understand the same Bible truths that are there without being manipulated by a church, mm-hmm. without being told that you have to join this particular group or that group. And it's just by letting the words on the page speak to you for what they say.
They found the truth the same way we found the truth, by reading the Bible.
That's it. By praying.
Uh-huh.
And just very quickly, before we start, just share a little bit about the prayer that you prayed when you wanted to really know and understand what the Bible
right.
said.
I had, I had gotten in contact with this group called Prophecies of Hope. A friend of mine was part of the first series, that evangelism series that the group did. And about halfway through organizing that, I was invited to join. And some conflict arose, and the group kind of almost disappeared to nothing. There was just a few of us left. And so in that process, there were some things that we all learned in terms mm-hmm. about what God's Word said, and I started studying for myself, and I began to see the church I was attending was saying things that they used these verses in the Bible that didn't say what they said it said.
Mm-hmm.
So I started praying. I was going to meet with you and Rick and Mary, and you're going to share with me what you have found the Bible to say. And so I started praying that God would show me the truth in His Word, that I prayed for wisdom and knowledge, the promise in James chapter 1. I prayed the promise Jesus gave in John 16, that He would send the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. And I prayed that I wouldn't be deceived.
Mm.
And I started studying, and I saw some things. And then when I met with you, you guys, God just kind of opened my eyes as we were reading the Bible.
Yeah, but it wasn't what we said.
No.
It was just reading the verses.
Yeah.
And you said, wait a minute, stop. Let me read this myself.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. We were in your living room
right.
at your home. And you read it, and you knew at that moment.
Right.
You said it. You knew and understood those
right.
passages very clearly without anybody instructing you.
Right.
And, you know, this is all part of what we're going to be talking about today after we open with prayers, walking in the Spirit,
right?
And once you knew those things, you realized, hey, you know,
I got to make a choice.
I have to choose.
Do I believe what God's Word says? Do I believe that He answered my prayer and showing me what it says? Or do I depend and believe in my church because they tell me they have the truth?
Right.
Which I believed. Wholeheartedly.
My church, I went to a different church, a different denomination. I believed the same thing.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing how God has brought these people together.
Right.
And so let's, you know, let's get right into this study. Would you open with prayer for us?
Sure. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this time we could spend together to open your word, the Bible, to open and study to see how it can change our lives today, how it can influence our thoughts and lead us into your truth and your word. Mm-hmm. Father, as we study these things, I ask for wisdom and knowledge for each one listening to this program, that they could see the words written on the page, that you would guide us by the Spirit of truth, and that, Father, that it will change our lives. Father, I thank you for these things and ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ed, last week we finished up the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, and that led us to, we were talking about building on the rock,
right.
And then we started talking about, well, how do I make the changes in my life.
Right.
And so we kind of went back to Romans again.
Yeah, Romans 7, because Saul was a persecutor of the Christian church, and when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus through a vision, he changed his name to Paul, as now is known as the Apostle Paul. But he's real about the Christian walk mm-hmm. in Romans 7. He's real about dealing with sin in our lives and the temptations that we have. In Romans 7, which we read last week, it talks about, I know the commandments of God are good. They're holy, just, and good. And he even calls them spiritual. The law is spiritual, he says in verse 14 of Romans 7. Mm-hmm. And he says, I know what I want to do, but I end up not doing it. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things I end up doing. And he says, this is happening because I have this law of sin in my members, in verse 23 of Romans 7. This law of sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve's disobedience. It's real.
It's very real. And, you know, what I appreciate about this is the very things that Paul says are the feelings that I've had.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that everyone listening has had that instance where there's something that I know I need to overcome this, but my will internally is that I continue doing this.
Right.
But I know that God doesn't want me to do this.
Yeah.
So what do I do now?
Right.
How do I deal with this? And that's where we are. This is what we're going to look at today.
Right.
So this is very personal for me, Ed, for you, and hopefully for many who are listening, because so many times we go to church and we talk about, we might hear the pastor say something like, well, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We have the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And we'll hear those things.
Yeah, well, praise God we do.
Amen. But what does that mean for my life?
Yeah.
What does that mean for, is that where it stops? I have the blood of Jesus to cover my sins?
No, it doesn't. That's the beginning. That's the first part of the good news, but there's a second part.
And this is what Paul's realizing.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Jesus took care of, he justified me, but now what?
I need to be sanctified.
Amen.
Need to be made holy.
Holy.
Need to be changed.
Amen. So that's where we're going to pick up today, isn't it?
Right.
Now, we read, last week, we read the first four verses of chapter 8 of Romans, but I'd like you to start at the beginning of Romans 8 again.
Yeah.
And was there more review in 7?
I just want to read Romans 7:24. After saying all these things, Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Because of the wages of sin is death.
Mm.
In verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Who's going to change that? How can that be changed in my life?
Right.
And so in Romans 8, we have the start of the explanation of the answer.
So in other words, what Paul is saying is there's conflict here.
Yes.
He realizes that God has an expectation of him.
Right.
And Paul's saying, this is impossible.
And yes. And he's saying, I want that expectation. I want to do those things that God wants me to do.
Right.
But yet I find myself unable to do them.
And so many times I've had the same feeling, this is impossible. But Romans 8 gives us some hope to show us that this is not impossible.
Right.
And so how do we achieve that? That's what we're going to discuss.
Right. So let's read Romans 8 verses 1 through 4 again. This is the modern King James Version. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin that Paul says dwells in him, that has control over him, that makes him do the things he doesn't want to do. Verse 3 of Romans 8, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, talking about the law of God, there's nothing wrong with the law of God, it's the weakness of the human flesh,
right.
God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Mm.
So now we see another law that God wants to put in us, His law, the Ten Commandments. We see in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus says in John 14 that it's the Father that dwells in Him.
Yes, He does.
And so the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of His Father. And it's His law that makes us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that I was weak through the flesh, I didn't have the ability of myself to obey God's law, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that Jesus was made in all ways like His brother,
mm-hmm.
and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh because He was obedient to God. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So it can't be fulfilled in us unless we walk in the Spirit.
Right. In other words, there has to be a change in our life.
A change I can't make in my own.
Right. And so this is what he's going to sound down.
Yeah.
Walking in the Spirit, and we're going to look at that today. What does that look like? What does that mean?
Let's read through verse 11, then let's define what it means to walk in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. Can you read the rest from 5 through 11?
5 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you."
So it's talking about the Spirit of God dwelling in us.
Mm.
But it also says in verse 9, if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Because Jesus is the mediator of God to us.
Amen.
God dwells in Christ. The way we experience the Spirit of God in us is through having Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, I was working out in the gym the other day. And Mark, you know I've got some t-shirts that I've designed and printed. And one of them says, "The Mystery of God." Then it quotes Colossians 1, 26 and 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I had a guy kind of looking at me, and he came up to me. He said, "Can I ask you about your shirt?" I said, "Sure." And he goes, "You don't see that. You don't hear that very much."
He's right.
I said, "Well, that's the only way change can occur." And he asked me, "Well, what church do you go to?" And I tell him I go to Prophecies of Hope on West Beverly Street. And he says, "Oh, you're the one with the billboards."
That's funny.
Yeah, and then I tell him about the best billboard I liked, you know, who's right, who's wrong, who decides, you know?
Right.
And, you know, people are searching. People are looking.
They are.
And not too many people hear this message of the second part of the gospel, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what we're talking about here in Romans. This is the answer to the problem of sin, this law of sin that dwells in us, is to have Christ in us.
Amen. So I want to just clarify something here.
All right.
Because sometimes people can get confused by this. And it says, and you mentioned that Christ is in the Father and the Father in Christ.
Right.
Now, Jesus said these words himself. He was praying to God, and he was talking about I in you and you in me and we in them.
Right.
Wasn't that John 17?
Yeah.
In John chapter 17?
Right.
So we have to remember, and this isn't it's a topic that we've discussed before, but so that people understand, the Bible does not teach that there are three divine beings. And even here in Romans, you cannot get that.
Right.
You have the Father and the Son, and you have the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son.
You have a spirit?
I have a spirit.
I have a spirit?
Yes. Everyone listening has a spirit.
Right.
Well, guess what? God has a spirit, and His Son has a spirit.
Yeah. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Galatians 4:6.
And this is how we become changed.
Yes.
You see, I know we've said this before, but it is worth repeating. Jesus, and you mentioned it, Ed, He has experienced coming to this world in the flesh. He came as we are. And so He knows what it's like to overcome.
That is part of the purpose of His coming.
Yes.
The purpose of His coming, often people think, is for His death on the cross, which is very true. He did come to accomplish
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. So we can have forgiveness of sin because of His pure blood that was shed on my unpure heart.
Yeah.
To cover my sins, my evil, my sinfulness.
It's what all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament were pointing to.
But now what? I still have life to live.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus lived that life. He was tempted in all ways like we were. He experienced sorrow on this earth. All the things that we experience, it talks about in Hebrews chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, that He did that. So He can now help us in our time of need,
Amen.
As the Modern King James says, to rescue us in our time of need. When we're being overwhelmed by sin in our lives, by the temptations of Satan, by the evil in this world.
Amen. He experienced life on this earth, as we are. He experienced death.
Yes.
As if time goes on long enough, we all eventually will.
He had enough faith in His Father. I shouldn't say enough. He had as much faith, he had pure faith in His Father
Amen.
That allowed Him to die on the cross and understand and trust that His Father would raise Him up again.
Yes. And that's what it says. We read that here in Romans, that the Father raised Him up.
Yes.
And so it's very important that we understand that we're not left alone, you see. And this is what we try. My nature is, I feel like I've said this, if you want anything done, you got to do it yourself, right?
There's a lot of truth to that.
In certain cases, there are. Yeah. But in this case, there's no way I can do it myself.
No.
In this case, I have to put that saying to rest and say, no, I can't do this myself.
I have to have faith in what Jesus has done for me on the cross and what He's doing for me, if I so desire, in my life today.
And it's a humbling thing to have to admit that and just really, truly rely on the Son of God to get me through things in life.
This isn't a one-day process.
No, it's not.
It's a continuous process as long as you take your breath.
Yes.
But God has given us this great gift of His Son, not only on the cross, but that can live in our hearts and minds today to help us deal with these things, and we can experience the Spirit of God in our lives as well because Christ is in us.
And
that's what these verses are saying.
Absolutely, that's what they're saying. And so we can become changed not by anything that I have done, but by what Christ has done for us.
So the law of God can be fulfilled in us,
yes,
who walk after the Spirit.
And when you talk about that law of God fulfilled within us, it reminds me of Jeremiah 31. I'm just going to go there. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord," that's Yahweh or Jehovah, "when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and they, I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
This is the same thing that we're reading in Romans 8.
That's the promise.
This is the new covenant being applied.
The promise
gives
fulfilled.
You how it works, the mechanics of it, if you, yes, if you will.
It does. Because, you see, when we look back and we look at the children of Israel, they kept breaking God's law, kept breaking.
The weakness of the flesh.
And they would go to the altar with a sacrifice, and that sacrifice doesn't take away the sins.
It represented what Christ would come and do that would take away their sins.
Right, and take them away permanently, yeah, so long as they relied on the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You see, how do I show that I'm relying on Christ? By doing the things that Christ asked me to do.
Right.
That's how. That's, yeah, how I know I'm relying on Him. If I'm doing my own bidding, if I'm doing the things that I want to do, I'm not relying on Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. And so, the only way that we can become changed is by really giving up ourselves.
Yeah. Jesus talks about the one that will save his life will lose it, and the one that will give up his life will save it. That's talking exactly about what you're saying.
Sure. We have to be willing to turn those things, those deeply ingrained habits, the things that we might enjoy doing that are contrary to the law of God,
mm-hmm,
we have to be willing to let them go. And, you know, people will say, well, give it to Christ. Give it to Him. Well, how do I do that? I let Him make changes in me.
Right. I understand that I am powerless without Christ to make changes in me. Pray to Him. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for power to overcome.
Amen.
And then make a choice. You have to be part of this decision-making,
right,
process. You have to decide, I don't want to do that anymore.
And, you know, I'm glad you said that. You have to decide. This is a choice. I know so many people that they might think, well, I was saved on this particular day, and they feel like, well, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah.
No, this is a daily walk.
Yes.
This is a daily walk. You might know the day you were saved. You might know the day that you knew that Christ was your Savior.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing to
know.
That's
the beginning. We're talking about now what?
This is an eternal walk,
yeah,
isn't it? And the beauty of it is, once sin is done away, then the effort, it's just going to be natural because those commandments are carved in my heart.
Yeah. You know, you're talking, you're quoting John 17 about Jesus saying, I and them, you and me, talking to his Father, and we and them.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus also talks about that he is the vine and we are the branches.
Oh, yeah.
And that we need to abide in him and him in us. It's the same relationship that he has with his Father that we need with him.
And that
the same
that,
words.
Is that John chapter 6, I think?
15.
15, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 was the where he did
bread
the,
of life.
Bread, right.
Yeah.
So this is what Paul is recognizing,
yes,
here in Romans. He's realizing, hey, guess what? This is what Jesus was saying.
Right. You know, and going back to this conversation I had in the gym, most Christians don't know about this.
Mm. It's true.
This man goes, wow, you don't see that very often, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hmm.
You know, people in all walks of life need to understand this is the plan of salvation. This is part of the gospel just as much as Christ's death on the cross. This is God's plan to reconcile the world to himself.
Right. Through Christ Jesus.
Yes, through his Son.
So, you know, you said this is the word gospel,
yes,
means good news.
Yes.
This is good news.
Right.
Because it tells me that Jesus didn't just come to die and, well, he's done with you. No, what's he doing right now, according to the Bible?
He's trying to change you, trying to purify you, trying to sanctify you.
Yes.
To bring us back into a relationship with his Father. Because sin separates us from God.
That's what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. And so now God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are trying to restore that relationship trying to not only restore the relationship, but to do away with sin in this universe.
Mm. Yeah, in other words, what you're saying literally is that sin will be done away.
Yes.
The devil will be no more.
Nope. Sometimes people don't like to hear that. Can you believe that?
It's sad because so many Christians are taught that the devil's going to be burning and people are going to be tortured. But all that does, Ed, is that perpetuates sin.
Makes immortal sinners.
Right. And Jesus came to destroy sin. He came to overcome it.
Destroy the works of the devil. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so this is the only way that we can truly have peace, is for that to be gone completely. And this is the hope that we have, friends, for those of you who have been taught maybe that, you know, evil people, some people are just terrified of burning in hell for eternity. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not saying that hell's not going to burn for a period of time.
Right.
But the good news is that we don't have to experience any of that.
Right.
We can be saved through the blood of Jesus, through the life that he lives now.
Yes.
And that's what Paul is realizing. He's realizing that he doesn't just come to save me, but he comes to put in me a new heart.
Right. This is the new covenant.
Yes.
You may hear churches out there, Christian churches, saying, well, we believe in the new covenant. But how many churches preach the new covenant that we're talking about here in Romans 8 and Jeremiah 31?
Right.
Which is about a change. Again, I go back to that song by, I think it's Stevens Curtis Chapman, that talks about, what about the change? Okay, you have a Bible. You have a cross around your neck. You have a What Would Jesus Do bracelet on. You have a Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker on your car.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the change that occurs in your life?
Yeah.
It's not real unless you experience the change that comes with Christ coming into your heart and mind.
The new covenant is not a different law
No.
than the old covenant. It is the old covenant, but what's new is that we become renewed because it's put in our heart.
The location has changed.
That's right. It's no longer in that Ark of the Covenant,
which was in the sanctuary.
Right. But now, where is it put?
In our hearts.
We just read it in Jeremiah. He writes it in your minds and in your hearts so that it becomes our nature. You know, we always say something is second nature. Mm-hmm. It won't be second nature. It will be who we are.
Right. In Romans 8:2 says, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Mm.
The law of God, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is his Father, the Spirit of his Father. The law of God is the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
So those in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because of Christ coming to this earth, let me just read verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We're obedient.
Right.
We're obeying God's law, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of God in us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Yeah, in fact, in verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We see that word enmity used first in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter mm-hmm. 3, where God makes this promise that he will put this division between the serpent and the seed of the woman.
Yeah, Satan and
right?
Christ.
And so it's a beautiful thing that he does that, because I want to be opposed to the mm-hmm. devil. I want to do the will of God. And the problem is, like, I have the same issues that Paul has. I want to do it, but I can't seem to overcome it.
Yeah.
But this doesn't leave us here either, does it, Ed?
No.
It continues.
Right.
So where do we go from here?
Well, we've gone here a lot, but let's go to Galatians chapter 5.
Okay.
And let's let the Bible tell you what walking in the Spirit is about, as well as opposed to walking in the flesh. Each one of us makes a choice daily, which which direction we're going to take. Are we walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit?
I think probably starting in Galatians 5:13
okay.
might be a good place. And this is interesting because it says, same writer, this is Paul.
Right.
And he's writing to these people in Galatia, to this church. This is what his letter says in verse Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. So, you know, so many times we look at the law as restriction.
Right.
But he's saying you've been called to liberty, not only to use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not know do the things that you wish. So he's recounting the struggle that he had in Romans 8.
Yeah.
And he gets it. He understands it. And he's sharing with them this experience. Verse 18, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
So how can he say in verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, and then declare that these things in the next three verses, which are against God's law, they that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God? What is he talking about?
Well, if you think
about it, a lot of people will say the law has been done away with.
I know. But he enumerates all these things, telling us that it's still there.
Yeah.
And so if I'm led by God's Spirit, though, I'm not going to do these things
right. That
break God's law. So really all he's saying is, look, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law because you don't come under the penalty of the law, because you're not going to break the law.
Yeah, in Romans chapter 7, he says, I wouldn't know what sin is except for the law.
That's right. We read that last week.
Yeah.
And so the law simply points out the sin.
Yeah.
So now what we have to do is, how do we keep it?
It points out our need for Jesus.
Amen.
To when we realize that I can't do this on my own.
It's so true, and he gets it. So there's so many times people, they'll say, Galatians 5:18, I'm not under the law.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If you're living by the Spirit, you're right. You're not coming under that penalty.
Right.
But he makes it clear here, and I want to say this because I've had to say this a number of times lately because so many people misunderstand. The Ten Commandments, God's law does not save us.
No.
It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves
right.
us. But according to what we're reading in the Bible, if I continue to break God's law, it will cost me my eternal life.
Right.
So it doesn't save us. But if I continue to live according to the flesh and I break God's law, I will lose my eternal life. That's what he says. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
What is it about God's law that you find offensive to you?
You know, when I was growing up, I would have, the only thing that I would have been able to stand on would have been the Sabbath, because that's what my church taught me.
Right.
Well, you don't have to do that, but it's part of God's law.
Right. You know, when you think about it, God's law is a hedge of protection in our lives to keep us from experiencing the effects of sin.
It is. It's like protecting your child from walking out into the street.
Right.
You put a little fence around your house. It's not, you can look at that as restrictive, but it's life-saving
it's
to that
protective.
Infant,
yeah.
isn't it? It saves that infant's life. And really, we are infants when it comes to life versus the knowledge of God. We're his children. So he gives us this hedge of protection to keep us from, it's really the law is there to point out the sin so that we don't sin.
Right.
It identifies it. So I can say, oh, I don't want to do that. That's not right. And so living in the Spirit means not breaking the law, so I don't come under the penalty of the law.
Right. Let's read Galatians 5:22, the rest of the chapter.
Did you want to read that?
Oh, sure. This is the Modern King James. Now, he's contrasting what are the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit here. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Mm.
There's no law against doing these things that are the fruit of the Spirit. Thus, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not breaking any law.
That's right.
This is the contrast between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the flesh, you're breaking God's law. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're not breaking God's law. It's that simple.
It's very simple. One thing I want to point out, Ed, is so many people believe, we mentioned this earlier, but I want to drive this home. They believe that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are different teachings. Well, the Old Covenant's done away.
No.
But Paul right here quotes, look at Galatians 5:14. I read this right at the beginning here. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Here's part of the problem with this apparent conflict between the Old and New Covenant. The word covenant is a contract.
It is.
It's an agreement. The old agreement has been done away with, and the new agreement has taken its place. The law of God is the subject of the old covenant, but is not the covenant itself. The covenant is, God says, these are my laws. If you obey them, I'll look after you and keep you out of harm's way, and you know, things, life will be good.
And he did. That's what happened.
And the people said, okay, we heard these laws, we see them, we'll do everything you say. That was the covenant. That's the agreement.
Right.
And the Bible tells us because of the weakness of flesh, they didn't keep the covenant.
So the problem was the covenant.
Covenant, the agreement, the contract was then canceled. The law of God wasn't canceled.
Right.
The contract was canceled because they didn't keep up their end of the contract. But now he has a new contract. The same law, but its location is different.
Mm.
Its location is in our hearts and minds. And that is accomplished through Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ being sent into our hearts and minds.
Yes. I've used this illustration. I kind of sometimes feel like I've worn it out, but some of you that are listening probably have never heard me say this. The Ark of the Covenant is where the Ten Commandments were placed.
Right, in the physical earthly sanctuary.
Yeah, and so there they were. They were in this, it was a box, a wooden chest made of acacia wood covered with gold.
Right.
Right? And in there were put the two tablets of stone that God wrote with his finger. This was the agreement.
Right.
And they said, we will do all of these things, right? That's what you just told us.
Right.
And that's what the Bible says. So because they wouldn't do those things, he says, okay, I'm going to make this even easier. I've given you the law, but you won't keep it. So I'm going to take these tablets of stone that I've written that are in this chest that's gold, and I'm going to put it in your chest.
Yes.
And I'm going to write them there so that this will be a natural part. This will be something that you want to do.
Now we have another law in us through Christ Jesus, the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of his Father.
Rather than just the law of sin and death.
Yes. Now we have something to combat that law of sin and death in us.
And that's the struggle that Paul was feeling.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about in Romans. So I just want to cover this, though, because it said in Galatians 5:14, for all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is quoting from Leviticus 19.
Right.
And here's what it says. This is modern King James, Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. In your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not allow sin on him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Jehovah. This hasn't changed.
Jesus quoted that same verse.
Yes, he did. And Paul is quoting it here. Yeah. And so he even says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. In other words, he's saying, it's not good enough that you just say, I don't hate my brother. Mm-hmm. It's got to be from inside.
Right.
And so this is why it's important that he take that law and put it in our heart so that we have something to combat my sinful nature. Right. I need that in my heart.
Right.
So again, this I took us there to show that the law hasn't changed.
No.
It's the location of the law has changed. So we need to pick up again in Romans 8. Okay.
Let's keep reading.
All right.
Let's read 12 through 17. Could you read that for us,
sure,
please?
Romans 8, beginning in verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
That gives me life.
Yes.
And then verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
All right. Let me read Galatians chapter 4.
All right.
Verses 4 through 7. Again, this is the modern King James. Galatians 4, starting in verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons, which we just read about.
Mm-hmm.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Again, these same words. So that you are no longer slaves, but a son, a slave to sin. And if son, also an heir of God through Christ.
Mm. So, yeah, that's the New King James says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir to God,
yeah,
through Christ. And that's what Paul's saying in Romans.
Right.
And this is the hope that we have.
It's through Christ Jesus. God having sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we receive the Spirit of God through that dwelling place of Christ. And let's just go to Ephesians 2, where we see that actually occurring.
Okay. Ephesians 2.
If you could read 13 through 22, Mark.
Sure. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation.
Talking about the Jew and Gentile, okay, being both made one.
Okay. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace.
The law of commandments contained in ordinances is talking about the ceremonial law directing the services in the heavenly sanctuary, in the earthly sanctuary.
Yes, so this isn't talking about doing away with the Ten Commandments.
No, it's not even doing away with the law. It's the fulfillment of the law, because all those things in the earthly sanctuary services pointed to what Christ would come and do.
Right. In other words, when they sinned, they would have to come to an altar and they would have to make a sacrifice for their sin.
Right.
And so, but the problem is, we're told in Hebrews, that doesn't remove the sin.
Right. It's only the blood of Jesus.
Yes, but that was showing that they had faith that the blood of Jesus would make atonement, would
right,
bring them back into a relationship with
right,
God, even though he hadn't yet come.
Right.
Right? So where were we there?
Verse 16.
Let me see. Chapter Ephesians 2. I'm sorry. I get into this. I get away from my Bible. Okay, verse 16, it says, let me read 15 again.
All right.
So that we understand, it was not doing away with the commandments, the Ten Commandments, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that's the key, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near.
Gentile and Jew.
Yes. For through him, that's through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Spirit of Christ. We read that in Romans 8.
It's not another person.
Right.
It's the Spirit of Christ that gets us to the Father.
Yeah.
And, and you wanted me to read through the end of the chapter. Verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of the Spirit of God.
So it's through Christ that we're built into this holy sanctuary. Paul says, don't you know that your body's the temple of God?
Mm.
And so we're built together for a dwelling place of God through his Spirit. And that's what we read in Romans 8.
Amen.
It's only through the Spirit of Christ that we experience the Spirit of God, his Father.
It's amazing to me. We have about 5 minutes, Ed. Where would you like to?
Let's go back to Romans 8.
Okay. Romans 8, I'm there.
And let's continue reading.
Okay, where do we stop?
Verse 18. Let me read just a few verses here. Modern King James, Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed in us. Do you suffer things? There's many people that suffer things in this world. Physical things, relational things. Financial things, spiritual things.
Yes, mental breakdown.
Yeah. He's saying, for I reckon the sufferings of this present times are not worthy to be compared to the coming glory to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestations of the Son of God, sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but because of him who subjected it on hope, that the creation itself should also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. So we're no longer in this bondage of walking in the flesh, which is corruption.
It uses the word liberty, which is freedom.
So it's talking about, you know, creation's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Manifested by Christ living in us, that we become the sons of God. Verse 22, and we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But what hope? But hope that is seen is not hope. For what anyone sees, why does he also hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. So it's talking about this manifestation of the Spirit of the children of God, the sons of God. And that occurs through Christ living us. We're changed. And we're changed into the creation that God initially created us to be, to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, to have the character of Christ.
Right.
Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, searching the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is talking about the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
He's our intercessor. He knows what we've experienced because he's experienced it himself. Mm-hmm. He knows the ways of heaven, the requirements of God. He knows the language of heaven. And he can share with the Father the trials and temptations that we have and offer his blood on our behalf. He makes intercession for us. He says it in a way which we can't say it.
It's true. And, you know, I think we're really running out of time here. And I think we need, next week we'll review this. And we'll keep talking about walking in the Spirit. What right. does that mean? What does that look like? How do we accomplish that? And the point is, Ed, look at verse 26, which you said already. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes, there's that word, intercession.
Right.
And that tells us this is Christ.
Yeah.
Because isn't he our intercessor?
Yeah, so we'll find that later on in this chapter.
We'll see that as we go through this. So, friends, for next week, take a look again. Read Romans 7 and 8. It's so encouraging. Couple it with Galatians 5 and Ephesians 2, and you will see God's law hasn't been changed. The location of the law is what he has changed.
And it's to change us.
Amen. It's to help us to overcome.
Yes.
And that's the key. We want to be overcomers. We cannot continue to live in sin and do these things that are contrary to God's law and expect that we're going to be forgiven automatically if we continue unrepentantly breaking God's laws.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And that's why Paul gave us the reminder, if you continue doing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. What a great note to end on. So let's have a closing word of prayer, and then we'll sign off. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to know you and your Son. And Father, we're grateful for this gift that you've given us in the life, the death, the resurrection, and the life that Christ now lives. We're grateful for this gift, Father, because this is the only way we can overcome. And we just ask that you will help the listener to think about these things, to read these verses and understand that your law can be put in our hearts, that we can become changed by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. So please be with us until we come together again. Help us to not be deceived, but to read the words on the page of your Bible and give us comprehension, Father. We ask for a blessing upon us until we come together again, and we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you for the study. We'll pick up again next week. And friends, we hope that you will tune in next week, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.